Well, it's good to see you this morning. If you have your Bibles, we turn in Philippians chapter 1. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Well, let's begin in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and the facts concerning the love of God in Christ for us. We thank you for the influence of Paul in the lives of others, and we ask that you would encourage our own hearts, Lord, not to grow weary, but, Lord, to fix our eyes upon your beloved Son. And, Lord, run the race that is set before us in our own lane, looking away to Jesus, advancing the gospel for the kingdom of God. Amen. I don't have a favorite verse as such. It all depends what I'm reading at the time or actually what I'm going through. But I think there are a few verses over the years that have had an influence on my life. But this is one verse in particular, chapter 1, verse 12 of Philippians, where Paul says, my circumstances have worked out for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I guess if you could put something on my tombstone, that's where I'd like to end up. I'm not there, but that's where I'd like to end up, that my circumstances have worked out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word advancement, or in your Bible it might be progress or translation, was used of woodcutters. And they would go ahead of a main army, and they would cut through obstacles, remove woods, so that the army could march unhindered to their destination. So Paul is saying, because of my circumstances, because I am imprisoned here, the gospel has not been hindered, but because of the circumstances, they have propelled the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in the circumstances you find yourself in, you have to adopt an attitude. And the attitude is that whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you're looking to advance, progress, further the gospel of Jesus Christ. 30 years previously, Paul had an encounter. He had been a religious man, a quote, a good man, a top man in his day, and he had a divine intervention. He had an opportunity where he watched willingly the murder of Stephen. And while he's on the road breathing out threats on the way to Damascus, there's a divine interruption in his life. He's about business as usual. He's out to persecute, do away with the followers of Christ, because in his mind he's convinced this is it. In Philippians chapter 3, he eventually will confess to his writers here in Philippians, the things he pursued were as dung. And we get our English word excretion from. He said, compared to the righteousness of Christ, everything I tried to attain was excretion. It's like putting your hand in a bowl and scooping up after you've had a bowel movement and say, look, this is what my life is apart from Christ when I compare my righteousness versus his. And he speaks about the incomparable Christ. But he has this divine interruption on the road to Damascus. And there he encounters the living Christ, the exalted Lord, and he said, who are you, Lord, and what would you have me to do? And there we see he goes to a place. Ananias talks to the Lord and tries to inform the Lord as if he doesn't know about the character of this man. And he said, he's a chosen instrument of mine, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And when we get here 30 years later, God has kept his promise. He has suffered and is suffering for his namesake. 10 years previous to this, in Acts chapter 16, Paul was desiring to go to a certain location. And God intervened, and sometimes God will do this, where you're trying to go to a certain destination in your life or with your life or with your family's life, and no matter how hard you try, it seems you can't get to that end. It seems like there's obstacles or there's events happening and you're turned and you find yourself in a place that you may not have chosen, but here you are. Paul, instead of complaining as most of us like to do, he heads where the Spirit of God has got him, and he heads down by a river, and there's a bunch of women there. And there's a wealthy woman among the women there and called Lydia, and God opens her heart to receive the word and she's born again. Paul then has a woman that he encounters, a fortune teller, demon possessed. God delivers the woman. Paul then, for his good deeds, is put in prison. Sometimes you can do good stuff and it ends up going wrong. The circumstances seem to change. But it wasn't bad circumstances, it was God's circumstances. And there in prison, he and Silas are singing. And all of a sudden there's an earthquake. And it's an opportunity for the prisoners to bolt, do a runner. But the man who's guarding them, the jailer, seeing that the gates are open, that the prisoners can run free, is about to commit suicide. And Paul said, "Do yourself no harm, we're all here." And with that, he shares the gospel, and this suicidal jailer is converted. And 10 years later, you come from Acts 16 to the book of Philippians, and here you have the church of Philippi. You see, God's circumstance, Paul's life, he converted him because he wanted to influence him in the lives of other individuals. When you get to Acts 16, Paul is determined to go one way, and God pushes him another way, and he moves in that direction, finds a wealthy woman, God converts her, finds a fortune teller, God delivers, finds a suicidal jailer, God saves him and his family, and you have the birth of a congregation, the congregation at Philippi. Now, how about that for a start of a congregation? Say, how was your start? Well, we had a wealthy woman. Well, that always helps. Fortune teller, not sure about that, demon possessed. Being delivered, that's a good testimony. And we had a suicidal individual. That's how we began the work of Christ in Philippi. And so here we come, Paul, and we want to look at this morning about your circumstances. Divine circumstances where God intervenes in your life. And you may say, well, listen, I have a mundane job. I hate my job. Welcome to the club. You're not the first one. It's not new to you. It's okay. But in those situations and circumstances where you have a mundane job, a dead-end job, guess what? In those circumstances, God has placed you there to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you can look at your circumstances and be bored stiff and looking at the horizon and daydreaming like some teenager. If only I get out of the house, things are going to be different. Oh, they'll be different, all right. You're going to have to do your own laundry. Someone's going to have to cook for you and it won't be mom. Welcome to the real world. But you can be like a teenager. You're always dreaming things will be different. But you miss the opportunity before you. Right where you are in the circumstances you find yourself, yours is the opportunity to influence other individuals for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul found himself in difficult circumstances. Not only was he imprisoned, but in chapter 1, he had other preachers who were proclaiming the gospel, but they were doing it, the scripture says, in order to cause him envy and in order to trouble him. That was their motivation. But yet he said, I will rejoice. Because he didn't take the insult personally and dwell on that. Not that it didn't hurt, but he didn't dwell on that. He looked into circumstances that even those people who were out to hurt him were proclaiming the truth of the gospel. He said, I'll choose to rejoice in that. So here he is in difficult circumstances. He's imprisoned, and you could say, well, listen, if God loved him, why would he put him in prison? Because in prison, there are people, there are guards who around the clock are shackled wrist to wrist with Paul. There are brothers who are suffering for the sake of the name who are imprisoned. And God so loves the guards. God so loves his people. He's circumstanced that Paul would be placed in those circumstances to further the gospel. In the circumstances you find yourself in, how do you advance the gospel on a daily level? Very, very simple. Chapter 12, he said, my circumstances have worked out to advance the gospel. Verse 13, he evangelizes. He said, the praetorian guard know while I'm here. In the circumstances you find yourself in, you can evangelize. All as you need is living people. Isn't that good? In your dead-end job, around you are other people who say, I'm in a dead-end job. Or perhaps someone who says, look, I'm just grateful for a job. And while you are moaning and groaning, you've taken your eye off what? off the goal. Have you ever seen a TV program, Undercover Boss, where a CEO of a company maybe dyes his hair, puts on a mustache, dresses different, but he goes to a different location and he works with the people from the bottom up to try and see how the company is run. Is it being run right or is it being run wrong? So they can make adjustments. Well, guess what? You're undercover. Whatever your job, whatever your title, you're God's undercover agent in the circumstances you find yourself in to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. A dear man I knew who was a part of a professional baseball team, and he was a third base coach. And he would say, that's my pulpit. So sometimes guys would have to stop at third base. And he would have to stay there until he got the signal to run. And he would ask them if they'd been to chapel. And they might move a foot off the base because, what is going on here? And then he would ask them about their soul. And he would ask them about their influences. And he would talk to them about Jesus Christ. And every time he ran to that third base, he was running to his pulpit. You see, he was buying up the opportunities he had every night from city to city to city to city over the years to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the circumstances you find yourself in, you can advance it. Evangelizing and encouraging God's people. I don't like hospitals, and yet over the last 20 years, I've spent a lot of times around hospitals and doctors. Hospitals, actually, I do everything I can to avoid them. And on one occasion, I had to go into a hospital, and when I was in that hospital, about midnight, the door opened up, just swung open, and I was high up on the bed, and I looked over, and I couldn't see anybody's head. And I looked down, and there was a man in a wheelchair. And he wheeled into my room and stopped, and that bit freaked me out. Midnight, what's this guy doing in my room? And he started to tell me that in the 70s, he'd been on a motorbike, and he had been in a crash. And he was paralyzed from the waist down, and we got talking. And he said, you know the first thing I would do if I could walk again? And I'm like, I don't know what you could do, but hopefully you'd be walking out of my room. He said, the first thing I would do if I could walk again would be to play soccer. And I thought, of all the rooms he can wheel into, why my room? Because in my former life, that was my career, that was my trade, a professional soccer player. Why did he not go to the room next door? Why did he not go to the floor below or above me? Because God had circumstanced my reluctance, using my illness, using my pain, using the wisdom of a doctor to get me into a hospital, place me in a specific room, and this man wheels in for no other reason than God so loved him. He wanted to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. On one occasion, I had this wonderful nurse. She made it a pleasure to be sick. And on one occasion, they'd spent 2 hours with me trying to convince me to go to the hospital, and I was trying to tell them why I shouldn't. And so finally, she, in her sweetness, leans over to me, and she said, there could be someone in that hospital God wants you to share with. And I thought, that's below the belt, isn't it? You can't be pulling that one. But you see, we all have circumstances we're reluctant to go into or be in, but in the circumstances, God wants to what? Advance His gospel. In this last few weeks, I've been doing a lot of traveling, and in between, my pain has been getting worse, and so after one trip, I was in bed for 3 days and couldn't read, couldn't do much. And finally, the day before I was getting ready to fly to Mississippi, I read a passage of Scripture. It just came alive to me. And when I get to Mississippi, get off the plane, limp down, wonderful man picks me up, 70 years old, and we're driving there. And this man has had cancer, and he's gone through severe treatments. And every time he has a treatment, he's left weaker. And sometimes people mean well, and they would say to him, are you in the Word? He's in his bed. He can hardly lift his head. But people, are you in the Word? And he was feeling some guilt, and I said, brother, the issue is not are you in the Word, but the Word is in you. All those years you've read the Bible, all those years you've heard the Scripture, the Spirit of God can bring back a word in season to meet you right where you are, and it was like a cloud lifted off him. You see, he's not called to a performance. He's called to love a person who first loved him. And in these circumstances, we're talking. He told me he was reading this book, and he said it was about a former NFL football coach. And he said the man's favorite verse was Romans 5:4. It was on suffering. Well, the day before, the verse I read was Romans 5:4-9 on suffering.
And here's God's circumstance in a life, or the providence of God taking people and time and things to meet someone's need. And I said, if you look at Romans chapter 5, here's what he's doing. In verse 1, he said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is wonderful. We are declared right. Verse 2, we stand in grace, fully assured of the acceptance of God. Then he talks about the hope that does not disappoint. And then he gets to suffering. It's like somebody just picks a verse and throws it in the wrong place. No, we were going good with this declared right, with this new standing, with this wonderful hope. Why would you throw suffering in? Because we live in a fallen world, and God knew people, both lost and saved, would suffer. And so I begin to tell him about the verse. I said, here you have a twofold assurance of the love of God to the suffering one. Because what's the first question? What happens when we suffer? Why? If God loves me, why would he allow this to happen? As though suffering negates the love of God for us. But in it, he shows twice how he proves his love. First, he said, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Spirit who has been gifted to you. There is the assurance of the Spirit of God in your heart. I love you. But the suffering can cause doubts. So he goes to Romans 5:8 and said, okay, we'll go from the subjective. Let's go to the objective. Let's go to the objective. And he says, but God demonstrated his love towards us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so you go from the subjective, the Spirit of God shed abroad, his love in his heart. You know he loves you, but the suffering, all of a sudden you take your eyes off him, you look at the suffering, and you miss him. You miss the Savior. And so he says, look, objectively, always go back to the cross. Always go back to the cross. But God demonstrated his love. And so I share this with him. And we talk about the love of God. And I thought, here is God taking two men. Two different continents, two different experiences. Both know a little bit about suffering, him probably more than me. He can't read, I can't read. And then God enables him to read, and what sticks out in his book, Romans 5:4, on suffering. And then God has me read the day before I go in on the context of the love of God in the midst of suffering. You see, in the circumstances you find yourself in, you can advance the gospel through evangelizing the lost and encouraging God's people. I was in Manchester, England before Christmas. It was a dark night morning. I was sitting there having my breakfast, and this lady walked by, this waitress, and she said, how are you? And I said, well, I said, I was reading last night in Hebrews. It says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. As long as God exists, there's no more record in heaven of sins against me or those who put their trust in him. And she took a step back. And she smiled and gave a hallelujah. You see, here's the thing. In the circumstances you find yourself in, there are people. And you have to begin to think, how am I going to speak to these people? Someone wheels into my room. I'm in shock. I want him to wheel on out. But I realize God has placed me in those circumstances to do what? To somehow have an inroad into this man's life. I'm in that restaurant in England for no other reason. Why? That this lady may come by because God has circumstanced she shall walk by. And as she walks by and asks a simple question, how are you? Before I give her a chance, I'm in to tell her what I have read. My mom lived with us for a short period before she passed on. And I was trying to get things done for her with the immigration so she could stay longer. And I'd left the immigration office early in the morning. I'd driven through traffic. You know how lights red, green, but you never get the right one. I get to the post office. There's no one there. It's so early in the morning. I open up the box. And all of a sudden, on the other end, I hear someone shout, what is the meaning of life? And I looked around, and there's no one there. And I know he's not talking to me because I'm on the other side of the wall. And the only thing I know what to do is get up as close as I can and shout, Jesus is the meaning of life. Closed the box, walked off. Now, he may have thought he heard from God, and God has an Irish accent. But you know what? Here's what happens. One of us sows, one of us water, God gives the increase. A friend of mine got converted, a top soccer player. And he's in the room, the boardroom of a visiting chairman. And he walks up. The guy is internationally known in the pop world, and he walks up to him and he begins to try and share, and he stutters and stammers, and he's not eloquent in it. He knows, but he's trying to share what he does know. When is the last time you've shared what you've known? Who is influencing your circumstances? How is God's gospel being advanced in your circumstances? Because you are there. Who is being evangelized? Because you're there. Who has been encouraged to speak the word of God more boldly? Because you're there. Paul said, my circumstances have worked out to advance the gospel. A friend of mine, we used to have Bible studies together. He speaks about 200 times a year now, but he was traveling one time by car, and as he was traveling, his car broke down, and he told me, he's like 6'4", ex-football player, well, guy running around in tights, you call them football players, right? But an ex-football player, American football player, he said the first thing that comes to his mind is, praise God, the car's broken down, there must be someone I'm going to share the gospel with. So he gets out, and he's trying to flag cars down, but they just keep going by. Because no one's going to stop. So finally he calls a tow truck. Elderly gentleman comes, tows his truck, gets in the cab with him, begins to share the gospel. The elderly gentleman just listens. Gets back to the shop in the middle of the countryside. He said, you stand there. Goes in, brings his mechanics out of where they'd been working on vehicles. He said, I want you to tell these men what you told me. And there he began to talk to them about sin and selfishness. But the love of God in Christ, who came to save and rescue, deliver the sinner from the wrath of God and deliver from the penalty of sin and bring them into a love relationship with himself and give them a new standing and a new beginning and a new life. And he said as he stood there speaking, he watched one of the mechanics whose face was just covered in oil and the tear just breaking through the oil. You see, he was using his circumstances not to complain, but opportunities to proclaim Jesus Christ. If we would do less time complaining and more time proclaiming, things could be different in our life. It's not about favorable circumstances. It's about the circumstances I'm in. And it's not a motivation from fear. It's not a motivation from I have to. When Jesus opened the mind of the discouraged two men on the road to Emmaus, in Luke 24 it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he revealed himself. It says their hearts burned, and that night they went up 7 miles back to tell people, Jesus is alive. The scriptures had an influence. The Christ who revealed himself through the scriptures had an influence, so their hearts burned. They had to tell others, he's alive. What influence is the word of God having on you locally? What influence is the word of God having on you when you go to buy your groceries? Because lots of times you might get the same cashier. What influence is the word of God having you in the place you work and you may dread, or the school you go to and you can't wait to get out of? What influence is the word of God having that the gospel of the Lord Jesus is being advanced, where people are being evangelized and the brethren are being encouraged to speak the word of God boldly because you're there? Years ago, I was going to South Africa to speak, and there was a man going to give me some t-shirts, going to do a soccer camp. I was doing some speaking on radio. I was doing some speaking in churches in an area where they would do soccer camps, and I would bring people with me, and we would do them. And his business folded, and I'm thinking, man, what are we going to do now? So a friend said, he said, there's a man over here who has a business that'll give you a good deal. So I went over there, asked where I was going, what I was doing. And so I told him, and he remembered hearing me speak about 7 years previous somewhere. And he said, I can't go to South Africa, but what I can do is I can give you these t-shirts for free. I said, that fits the budget. We'll take them. In the meantime, I got a friend over there who's working on feeding the poor, who's working on not only feeding them, but giving the gospel. And there's a woman called Ada, and she's 91 years old. And Ada is not convinced when the pastor's wife talks to her about her sin that she's a sinner. And so on one occasion when I'm there, the pastor's wife, some women visit Ada again. And Ada says, you know, I have this dream, and there's two roads. One is a beautiful road, but I'm not allowed to go on it. What is it? And they begin to tell her about the two roads, the narrow road and the broad road that leads to destruction, the narrow road that leads to life. And they use the verses on the back of the shirt. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through me. And they explain it to her. And God in his mercy has a divine intervention for a 91-year-old woman as she gets converted, and as the days and weeks and months follow and people come, she is telling them about the beautiful road and the shepherd who can lead you there. But you see, here is God's circumstance in converting me. Here is God using another man from another part of the world and sending him to feed them, feed her. Here is another man says, I can't go, but I can give you t-shirts. Here is a couple who financed for me to go. And all together, God using the circumstance, meshing it all together. Why? Because the Son of God hung on the cross for a 91-year-old woman he so treasured and valued, he had to have for himself. You can say, I can't go. But you go where you're at. You say, I've missed the boat. If only I was younger, what boat are you looking for? You're right in the midst of where you should be. You say, I failed so much. The blood of Christ cleanses from all iniquities. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things. Our failures, our sins, the sins and failures of others against us to do what? To work it for good. To conform us to Christ. And in the circumstances, Paul was shut in, but he would not shut up. Why? The love of Christ compelled him. In 2 Corinthians 5, he said, the love of Christ compels us if we are beside ourselves. In Galatians 2:20, he said, the love of Christ molded him to trust. He said, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, it was the person of Jesus Christ that motivated him to trust. It was the love of God through Jesus Christ that motivated him to tell. What is deficient in the love of God that stops you from telling others in the circumstances you find yourself in? Because the problem can't be me, and we know the problem can't be you. So the problem has to be him. He has put us in circumstances that we would not have chosen. He has put us in circumstances that are unfair. He has put us in circumstances where there are difficult people and there are obstacles before us. And he has put us in circumstances where we're like a two-year-old. We're thrown, or in Ireland we call a dummy, you call a pacifier, out of our prams. We're not happy. And so the word has no influence except to harden us, to focus more on ourselves rather than liberate us. This morning I was leaving my hotel and I got this note from a man, and this is a wonderful story. This man I got to meet several years ago, and I brought him to a bookstore to buy a book for him. And in it I just wrote, The Master Passion of Paul's Life, Philippians 3, 8, and 10, that I might know him. Months and months later, he told me he never read the book. He couldn't get by the verse in Philippians 3, 8, that I might know him. He said he went into his wife's room one day, the bedroom, and he said, I don't know what this means, but I want to follow God, and I want you to come on the journey with me. His life was radically changed. It was no longer business. It was God's business. He wrote this morning this email, and I'll read it to you. He said, Romans 1:14, I'm going to teach on this morning. I'm under obligation both to Greek and to barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. I'm sitting here with my mom. She's elderly lady, has fallen a couple of times. We're getting ready to put her into a rehabilitation home. He said, she's sleeping, and I'm preparing to teach this verse. And I'm reflecting on her life. Her life has been consumed by the gospel and the hope of Christ found in the gospel. She has taught the gospel, shared the gospel, given joy to the gospel, lived the gospel, all because of the power of God unto salvation. She is a debtor to all men. She is eager to proclaim. She is not ashamed. A doctor came and visited the house, a very prestigious doctor. She said, everyone is in charge of me now. She asked him, do you know who is in charge of us all? He replied, I think I know who you're talking about. She asked, but do you know him? Are you ready to meet him? Mom is not ashamed of the gospel, and she has given me far more courage to speak, realizing the debt I owe to all men because of the gospel. She's in a difficult place, and yet here she is, not fighting restraints, but looking to proclaim Jesus Christ. What is deficient in the love of God for me, for you, that the gospel has not been advanced in the circumstances we find ourselves in? You see, it's a love issue. When the Lord went after Peter, he asked, do you love me? That's what he asked him. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And that's the question this morning. When I don't share the gospel, it's usually a love issue. self-love, self-protection, rather than Christ's love. I have a lack of love for people. And God grants me grace to turn, and God grants grace to bring other people into my life, the same as you. So instead of looking in the horizon, or instead of looking to what ifs or what could have been, look right where you are now. Look at the people in the circumstances God has placed you in. Right where you are, you can advance and further the gospel through evangelizing and through encouraging. Let's trust the God to begin afresh this day. In the circumstances we find ourselves in, from here until He takes us home, by His grace, we will live to advance the gospel in the circumstances we find ourselves in. You are on assignment from God. It says of David, having served the purpose of God and his generation fell asleep. You and I are debtors. You and I are in circumstances. Some of us are favorable, some of us not too good, if we're honest. But in the circumstances, who's been evangelized? What brothers and sisters are being encouraged to speak more boldly the word of God because you're there? The love of God has been demonstrated. Let's reflect it. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the divine intervention you had in Paul's life. Father, for we're all been influenced generations later because of what you've written by him. We know your word teaches there was times he was afraid, there was times he despaired of life, there was even times he was depressed. Yet, Lord, in the circumstances he found himself in, the gospel was not being hindered, but the gospel was being furthered. Lord, we ask today that you would restore us in our own thinking to love you and to refocus, that in the circumstances we find ourselves in, we would choose to advance the gospel. Lord, let us look on people today and not be as those who come from Jerusalem who pass by, but let us see those who are in the ditch as those you've placed in our life, those who are lost, to share what you've given us through your word, and for those who are going with the word to mutually encourage them to continue, so that in the circumstances we find ourselves in, it may be said of us, as Paul wrote, my circumstances have worked out to advance the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.